Coming up on this week's Stat Pack, we take a look at the playoff picture for this postseason and figure out if there will be road woes for the majority of the postseason teams. Also, we take a look at the big board from Week 15. Was there more offensive fireworks to talk about, or did the defense finally get its own say? All that and more on Stat Pack.
Welcome to this week's edition of Stat Pack, providing you with a six-pack of subjects featuring the cold, hard football facts and the stats that truly matter. Here's your host, Adam Dobrowolski.
Hey there, Pigskins fans, and welcome to the Week 16 edition of Stat Pack. I'm your host, Adam Dobrowolski, and per usual, we have a six-pack of topics to look at. Obviously, Week 14 had its own fireworks, setting a record for touchdowns. Week 15, setting a record for points. We're going to look at the big board, see the impact of some of the top performances of the week, and see if it was mainly about offense or if defense had its own say. We take a look at that. Of course, the king of props, the intelligence index, best teams and best games for Week 16. But we're going to start things off with a look ahead to the postseason. Last week, we looked at a concern for the New England Patriots after having yet another one-possession win against a team with a losing record. Here, this past week, well, the Patriots lost on the road, and it wasn't just them who lost on the road. It was a fellow division leader in the Cincinnati Bengals, and that got me thinking between those two and a fellow division leader in the New Orleans Saints losing on the road. Could we be seeing this postseason set up for the home team? We go and take a look at the Mathletics and look back to the last 10 years to answer those questions. We'll start things off with those results.
Find out what stats and trends you can buy or sell as we delve into this week's Mathletics.
So the question here for Week 16 is, do we buy or sell teams getting playoff victories on the road this postseason? You look back to recent history, and we've seen teams come out of virtually nowhere to become Super Bowl champions. Last year, the Ravens were 10-6. The previous year, the Giants, 9-7. Both of those teams were four seeds. How about Green Bay in 2010, 10-6, and a six seed? You had the Steelers in 2005 as a six seed, the Giants in 2007 as a five seed. So, recent years suggesting that teams can go on the road and win multiple postseason games. But if you look at the standings this year, you're seeing teams struggling on the road. In fact, if you look at the playoff picture as it stands right now, already five teams have secured a .500 record or worse on the road this season. New England Patriots are 10-4, but 3-4 on the road. The Cincinnati Bengals are 9-5, but 3-5 on the road. Baltimore, 8-6, but 2-5 on the road. In the NFC, the Saints, 10-4, but 3-4 on the road. The Bears, 8-6, but 3-4 on the road. Of the teams on the outside looking in, San Diego, Arizona, Green Bay, Dallas, Detroit, all have at least four losses on the road. So it could end up being five and maybe even six. Indianapolis is 4-3 and they're at Kansas City on Sunday. And if you're a Cold Hard Football Facts insider, you know that the Chiefs are red hot, skyrocketing to number two in the quality stats power rankings. There's a good chance the Colts are a sixth team that makes the postseason that has a .500 record or worse on the road. Ironically so, maybe it goes down to five if Miami wins their last two games, but we don't even know if that will be the case because if Baltimore wins their last two games, they are in. So, bottom line here, what we're looking at is quite the interesting dynamic where potentially half of the teams in the postseason end up having a .500 record or worse on the road. And the question is, does this mean we're looking at chalk through the postseason? I mean, after all, you do have Seattle unbeaten at home as the number one seed in the NFC, and they'll clinch that with a win in one of their last two games. New Orleans right now, the two seed, they could get a big win on the road on Sunday against Carolina and clinch that number two seed, that would be obviously a big boost for them. And then out in the AFC, you look between the top three seeds, one loss between Denver, New England, and Cincinnati. That loss came in Week 15 with San Diego winning at Denver. So it's going to be tough to see those teams lose at home, especially how strong they've been playing. But I want to do some verification. Look back to the history of teams with a 500 road record or worse. How did they fare? Well, if you don't recall back to our super study that I made last year during the postseason, which the Baltimore Ravens seemed to throw a big monkey wrench into that study to see what teams should be the favorite, what teams shouldn't be the favorite. The Ravens were one of the lesser teams, considered the underdog, they ended up winning it all. But even though the Ravens went 500 last year on the road, they are just one of eight teams to make the Super Bowl with a 500 road record. There's only been two more who had a sub-500 record. That was the 2008 Arizona Cardinals and the 2010 Green Bay Packers, both of which went 3-5 on the road. So 10 of these Super Bowl teams over the span of nearly five decades have made it to the Super Bowl with a 500 or worse road record. That really means that the chances are still there, but they're not exactly very likely when you consider, what, 10 of 94 teams, if I'm losing count here, could be more. But bottom line here is we need to look at the recent history. Things have changed recently. We have seen the 2006 Indianapolis Colts go from 500 on the road to Super Bowl champions. Same with the Baltimore Ravens last year. And as we mentioned, the Cardinals and the Packers recently did it with a losing record. So let's just look back to the last 10 years. And let's look at playoff teams who had a 500 record or worse and still made it to the postseason. 500 record or worse on the road. Postseason teams own a combined record of 16-25 in road playoff games. Also of note, you can add in 13 teams that never played on the road. They went either one and done at home or played another home game after winning their first playoff game. I'll spoil the surprise here. All 13 teams went one and done. Nine of those losses happened against teams, who had a 500 record, or I should say a winning record on the road. Four of the teams had a 500 record or worse. So you can put a check mark to nine of the 13 one-and-done losses, the teams that knew how to get the job done on the road. With the record 16-25, you have to remember the four teams that made the Super Bowl. Baltimore went 2-0 on the road. Indianapolis went 1-0 on the road. And then you look at Green Bay, they went 3-0 on the road. Arizona, 1-0 on the road. So between those four teams, seven wins. The rest of the teams went 9-25. So you're kind of getting the picture here. Now let's add in 2008. Only one team in the NFC had a winning record on the road, and that was the top seed in the postseason in the New York Giants. So among the other five teams, you had those teams have a combined three wins, one from Arizona, two from Philadelphia. Remember, it was a 4-6 in the NFC Championship game. So you take away those two more wins from Philadelphia's total, and you're looking now at a 7-23 record in the rest of the bunch here, taking out the outliers. So on your average team that went 500 or worse in the regular season on the road, the average team has basically, I would say, a 1-4 chance of winning a road game in the postseason. So I think it's possible that some of these teams get the job done. Am I buying or selling these teams winning on the road? Well, I think really you have to look at how these teams are built. Denver, the number one seed, they have defensive flaws. They're not going to score as much at home in the postseason as they would in the regular season. But the team needs to be able to slow down their opponents defensively. Cincinnati, could I trust them to win in Denver? Well, they have the defense to slow down Denver, and they do have the offense to take advantage of Denver's shortcomings. So I would buy a team like Cincinnati. I would buy a team like New England, having already defeated the Broncos this season. And although the Patriots don't have Rob Gronkowski, they still have the presence of Tom Brady on offense to help them, and the defense has been holding up this season. A team like Baltimore, well, their offense hasn't been nearly efficient enough to get the job done in regular games. Although they're 8-6, they still have a negative pass rating differential. I don't think they would take advantage of Denver, let alone even win a 3-6 game against Cincinnati in the postseason, to be honest. I wouldn't buy a team like them in the NFC. The Saints don't have a playoff victory on the road to their name. Why would I start buying them in Seattle? Wouldn't buy Chicago in Seattle either. And if one of the other teams get in, Arizona or Green Bay or Dallas or Detroit, maybe the only team I might buy is Green Bay, just because they might get the juice of having Aaron Rodgers come back in the postseason if he comes back. It might be the Ray Lewis effect last year with the Ravens, but beyond that, I don't buy them either. So bottom line, looking at the history, I think between the five, maybe six teams who may make the postseason who have a 500 record or worse on the road in the regular season, I'd say between them, I buy one, maybe two road playoff wins. Are any of them going to make a run going on the road in the playoffs? Sorry, I just don't buy it. So I think for these final 2 weeks, the bottom line is wins are important. New England, Cincinnati, both fighting for that two seed. That's going to be pivotal moving forward. In the NFC, the Saints, I think they need to win much more so than Carolina. And ironically, they're going to have to win a division by beating Carolina on the road on Sunday. That wraps up this portion of Mathletics. Let's take a look at the big board from Week 15.
Get a taste of the CHFF Insider as Adam takes a look at this week's statistical big boards.
We'll look at a six-pack of things here from the big board from Week 15, beginning things off with some defense. Last week, I gave a shout-out, obviously, to the offenses who set an NFL record for most touchdowns in a single week. Well, we had our most points in a single day this past Sunday, and yes, it was definitely an exciting Sunday, but I want to throw things out here for the defenses. First things first, let's look at the Seattle Seahawks. Back-to-back weeks now in which a team has a defensive hog index of 1.33. Tampa Bay 2 weeks ago against Buffalo. Last week, Seattle against New York. The Seahawks get only the second shutout of the season. Ironically, the other one came against the Giants. It was Carolina in Week 3. In that game, they had a defensive hog index of 3.67. Meanwhile, do want to give a shout out now to the Miami Dolphins. You got the win at home against New England. They get the job done despite having a defensive hog index of 26. Weren't really able to get pass rush and consistent negative plays on Tom Brady, but able just to do what they've done this season, and that's be good overall on their pass defense. They're able to slow down Brady enough for the victory. Of course, though, we also have to look at run defense and the Atlanta Falcons shutting down the Washington Redskins. Washington had a negative 34.07 offensive rusher rating, the worst of any team this season, according to our big board. As we look at our third topic, my question is this: does the running game completely go away without Robert Griffin III? Yes, Kirk Cousins played pretty well against Atlanta, but it is a bad pass defense. This team, though, didn't have any balance on offense. Look, the answer is clearly Robert Griffin III. You need balance on offense. And RG3 was still having some decent statistics overall, according to our quality stats. Bad decision by Mike Shanahan. Probably going to be his last big decision as a Washington Redskins head coach. Now, though, we flip over to the other side, look at the offense, and look at the poor play of the New York Giants. A real quarterback rating of 26.18. And New York teams now make up 6 of the bottom 8 performances in real quarterback rating. The Giants against the Seahawks had the 6th worst. It's their second time in the bottom 8. The New York Jets have 4 bottom 8 performances. The other two, Green Bay in week 13 at Detroit, and then Buffalo week 14 at Tampa Bay. We've had a lot of recent performances with poor real quarterback ratings as well. On the good side, though, we do have to get one offensive note, and it goes to the Kansas City Chiefs, getting Alex Smith just his 3rd victory in a start in which his team was allowed 24 points or more. The Kansas City Chiefs win 56-31, and Smith was fantastic. That offense was phenomenal. It's the first perfect offensive passer rating of the season, 158.333333. And how about this for the Chiefs? You can also look at a top 5 performance in real quarterback rating, 135.16, and the 7th best mark in real passing yards per attempt at 11.33. Now, did it make the Kansas City Chiefs the team of the week according to our quality stats power rankings? Well, as we go to our final part of the big board, the answer actually is no. The Baltimore Ravens had the top performance, 7.27 in their 18-16 victory against Detroit. The worst team, according to our quality stats power rankings, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 24.50 in a 33-14 loss to the San Francisco 49ers. Next up, we take a look at our King of Props here on StatPack.
Need help with your prop bets? Adam gives you an inside scoop by review in this week's bets from the King of Props.
For our third topic of the show, we take a look at our King of Props, Mr. John Dudley. Right now winning nearly 66% of his props this season. We remind you to become a Cold Hard Football Facts Insider. 99 for the year, 995 for the week, and trust me, you're going to get your money back. I mean, look at this. 2 out of every 3 picks this season, successful for the King of Props. This past week, he went 2-2. Went for the over 5 receptions by Keenan Allen. Allen was a fantasy force Thursday night against Denver, but it was because both of his catches were touchdowns. So unfortunately, a loss there. Our King of Props also lost the Monday night prop, picking the over on 3.5 receptions by Ray Rice. But for all the Ravens were able to do to move the ball down the field and set up Justin Tucker for 6 field goals, Rice only had 1 reception. Interesting. But the 2 victories for our King of Props came on the over for Nick Foles' passing yards, 255.5. That was like shooting a fish in the barrel, 428. For the Eagles quarterback against the Minnesota Vikings. And then the over on the 32.5 rushing yards for Colin Kaepernick. And CK7 had 42 rushing yards in the win over Tampa Bay. One more reminder, become a Cold Hard Football Facts Insider. Find out the next props coming up for this week. Pretty sure we're going to have 2 or 3 coming up for Sunday. So again, $99 for the month, $9.95 for the week. And it's worth your time. It's worth your money. Next up, we move to our 6-pack of top teams for week 16.
Which players or teams are striving as the season churns on? Let's find out with the 6-pack of top performers for this week.
Let's go quickly through our top 6. They're still within 3 different divisions. It's going to be interesting to see this season if that's how things will pan out. In the postseason, do we have divisional matchups in the conference championship games or the divisional round? We'll see. But number 6 at 10-4, the San Francisco 49ers. They're 4th according to the quality stats power rankings, top 4 in both scoreability and bendability, so they're a smart team. They're 6th in real quarterback rating differential, 4th in pass rating differential, 2nd in defensive Hog Index, 8th in rusher rating differential. What still holds them back at 6, they're 31st in total team yards. I still need to see more explosiveness from their offense. Number 5, if you want offensive explosiveness, you have the 10-4 New Orleans Saints. They're 5th in the quality stats power rankings, 3rd in real quarterback rating differential, 3rd in pass rating differential, 7th in offensive Hog Index, and 3rd in total team yard differential. Their problem, they're not even right now standing out in the intelligence index. They're right between that 1 and 0 mark. That's decent, but not very smart. And if you have a high-powered team that you face on the road like the Seattle Seahawks, you need to be very smart. The Saints not yet showing it, so they're number 5. Number 4, I have the 10-4 Carolina Panthers. Third, according to the quality stats power rankings, top 10 in scoreability and bendability, 5th in real quarterback rating differential, 11th in pass rating differential, 2nd in defensive hog index, 1st in rusher rating differential. Their problem, they are right now like the San Francisco 49ers. Balanced all around, but still struggling to get yards at a regular clip, and that will hurt them come postseason because they're going to need to make some big plays against strong defenses. Number 3, the Denver Broncos, 11-3 on the season. Now they're only 7th in the quality stats power rankings, still number 1 in their passing offensive numbers by and far, but again, what holds them back from the top spot here and a Super Bowl favorite, 20th in bendability, 18th in defensive real passing yards per attempt, 17th in defensive real quarterback rating, 19th in defensive pass rating, 16th in defensive hog index, 21st in total team yard allowed. It's right now looking like they need to keep that number one seed because I don't think they'd go one and done in back-to-back years, but I don't know if I would take them in the AFC Championship game against a more balanced opponent like the Patriots and Bengals. Right now, their road woes keep them out of my top 6, though. Number 3, the 11-3 Kansas City Chiefs. All of a sudden, the Chiefs are 3rd in scoring offense. Is that true? Oh, yes, it is. They're 2nd in the quality stats power rankings. 1st, according to the intelligence index, once again, top 10 on both offense and defense for a real quarterback rating and passer rating. 2nd in rusher rating differential. 7th in defensive hog index. But only 3 wins for Alex Smith when his teams allow 24 points or more. Still need to see a little bit more before the Chiefs threaten for the top spot. And still my Super Bowl favorite, the 12-2 Seattle Super Seahawks. 1st, according to the quality stats power rankings, and according to the quality stats, they're top 5 in all but 4 areas. Offensive hog index at 17th, total team yards at 15th, offensive rusher rating at 14th, and 10th in time of possession. There's some leaks there on the offensive line, and they're not exactly the most dynamic rushing offense, but they're still getting the job done effectively with Marshawn Lynch. They don't need to be top 10 in total team yards if they have control of a game and they're just salting away the clock. I like the Seahawks. They're still by and far the best team. So let's move forward. Let's take a preview of Week 16 with the Intelligence Index.
Now let's look ahead to see which teams are the best and worst bets for this upcoming week with a preview from the Intelligence Index.
Heck, while we're at it, why don't we do something a little bit special for this week's II preview? We're not just going to look at Week 16. We're going to look at Week 17. Heading into the final 2 weeks, what does the Intelligence Index have to say about the 7 teams who, quote, control their destiny in the NFC? That's right, 7 teams control their destiny, as in if they win their last 2 games, they're in. You're looking at the Seattle Seahawks right now, 12-2. Just need to win 1 game, they're in. San Francisco needs a lot of help to win their division. But you have Carolina and New Orleans battling in Week 16. The winner just needs 1 win in Week 17. They win the division. Dallas and Philadelphia, that Week 17 matchup. They both get a win in Week 16. The showdown happens in Week 17. Same for the Packers and Bears. So my question is, what does the Intelligence Index think? You have Green Bay, -1.20, Chicago, 0.06, Philadelphia, 0.21, New Orleans, 0.74, Dallas, 3.49, and then Carolina and Seattle tied for 2nd, 6.03. If you were to do a projection, just picking the winner based on the team that has a better intelligence index, you're looking at this following playoff picture. Seahawks, number 1 seed, 14-2. Carolina, number 2 seed, 12-4. Chicago, 9-7 as a 3 seed. Dallas, 9-7 as a 4 seed. San Francisco, the 5 seed at 12-4. and New Orleans, the sixth seed at 11-5. Will that be how it plays out? We'll have to find out. But according to the Intelligence Index, Chicago and Dallas might finally get the job done after all these failures in December. Let's close things up, though. Our final topic, our six-pack of top games for Week 16.
Let's wrap the program with what's best for the week ahead. It's the six-pack of top games for this coming week.
And, well, let's look at the six games. We have some quality games coming up, five of which feature top half teams in the league, and one of which may have the biggest impact of them all. And we'll start off with number six, the Miami Dolphins at the Buffalo Bills. Hey, did you know if Miami happens to lose to Buffalo and then San Diego happens to lose one of their last two games at home, Baltimore would get in with a win at home against New England. This is going to be a big game for Miami. This is their toughest task from finishing the season 10-6 on the road in Buffalo, a cold area, and it features two great defenses. Both defenses are in the top 10 in defensive real passing yards per attempt, defensive real quarterback rating, and defensive passer rating. Both offenses are struggling. Miami's doing a better job. They're the more balanced team. 13th in the quality stats power rankings. Buffalo's 22nd. Buffalo, though, did win earlier this year in Miami. I'm also interested in the revenge factor for the Finns, and they'll be trying to do it in cold weather. I think that's going to be a very interesting game. Number five, I have the Indianapolis Colts at the Kansas City Chiefs. This is number 14 at number two. Yes, Indianapolis still in the top half through all their struggles, but they may have finally turned the corner with a dominant win over the Houston Texans last week, allowing only 3 points. Pretty much in control that whole game. If they can get a win in Kansas City, this should put them right into playoff form, in my opinion. 3-3 against quality teams are the Indianapolis Colts. Wins against Seattle, Denver, those are obviously great ones. In particular, those two teams combined 5 losses. You add in San Francisco. Those are 3 top 6 teams that they've defeated this season. They could make it a 4th. Meanwhile, for Kansas City, obviously, the way they've been getting the job done as of late, the two things they'll have to try and stop, the offensive line and rushing game of the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are 9th in the offensive hog index, 2nd in offensive rush rating. The Chiefs, well, as mentioned earlier, they're 7th in the defensive hog index. They slow that down. They can get to Andrew Luck. They should be able to win and still be in the hunt for the number one seed in the AFC. Number four on my list, the Arizona Cardinals at the Seattle Seahawks. Now, I want this to be higher. You have 2 top 10 teams, but it is number 10 at number one. It's probably the weakest matchup you can get for 2 top 10 teams. Arizona struggling on the road this season. If they make the playoffs, they would be one of those teams that would have a 500 record or worse on the road. Meanwhile, for Seattle, they've been unbeaten at home over the last 2 years. But this is a matchup that has two teams in the top 8 in defensive real passing yards per attempt, defensive real quarterback rating, and defensive passer rating, 2 top 5 teams in defensive hog index, and 2 top 4 teams in rusher rating differential. This could be a good game if Arizona can play up to task against the 12th man. It will be very tough, but it's a long shot to be a great game. Number 3, I have the New England Patriots at the Baltimore Ravens. Number 8 at number 16, but Baltimore is 6-1 at home and 1st in the defensive hog index. With that and the playoff picture in mind, New England trying to keep a top 2 seed, Baltimore trying to stay in the playoff hunt and maybe even win the AFC North, this game is huge. Number 2, Chicago at Philadelphia. Number 11 at number 9. This game was flexed to Sunday Night Football for great reason. Both teams in the playoff hunt. Both teams leading their respective divisions right now. Both teams in the top 8 in the passing offensive indicators. And both are struggling in both defensive real passing yards per attempt and the defensive hog index. This could be a huge shootout. And with that primetime crowd in Philly, where the Eagles have actually been weaker at home than on the road, this could get quite interesting. But the number one matchup, Didn't get it 2 weeks ago because of Seattle, San Francisco, but it is number one now. New Orleans at Carolina. Number five at number three. It's the NFC South rematch, and it's at Carolina, which should make this game a lot more interesting than the 31-13 victory for the Saints on Sunday Night Football. This will, in all likelihood, determine who's the number two seed, and I'm interested to see if Carolina can get the victory. Does this throw a monkey wrench in the NFC playoff picture? Not sure what will happen, but I'm looking forward to it. That does it for this edition of Stat Pack. This is Adam Dobrovolsky signing out. Until next week, enjoy the Week 16, everybody.